What's up, world? Welcome back to Life Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I am an inspirational speaker. Welcome to a brand new series, and the first series of 2024. I'm calling this A Woman's Perspective. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to have amazing guests join us to talk about a woman's perspective on a variety of topics. And today, we're kicking things off with Miss Sheba. Sheba the Creative. Jehosheba. We'll be talking about entrepreneurship and faith today. So listen up, everybody. It's going to be an amazing discussion. And yeah. So without further ado, here we go. Season 17.
Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Good Pods, Overcast, Breaker and Listen Notes, Castro, Stitcher, Castbox, Pandora, TuneIn, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. And iHeartRadio. That's where you can listen in to Life Tips. Everywhere that you get your podcasts. Hey, we everywhere. Hey.
16 countries.
We everywhere.
Yay!
Listen.
Yay!
Everywhere.
Yay!
Hello there. What's up? My name is Nate, and you're listening to Life Tips Podcast. Welcome. Relationship improvement with advice and tips for becoming a better you. On this show, each episode is unique to what you're going through, and it doesn't matter your youth or gender. Everyone can benefit.
Really?
You see, the reality is that nobody is perfect, there's always going to be downfall with rising, and there's something to improve upon every single day.
Sure is.
So if you want to make changes in your life, then follow along, and I can help you master yesterday's mistakes to create a better tomorrow. Let's get started.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Nate, just greeting you. If you are a new listener, then welcome aboard. I hope to teach you some things, so take some notes, and hopefully you'll learn something along the way. If you're a returning listener, faithful listener since day one, welcome back. I hope to continue to impact your life in positive ways. And I hope that I continue to lead you in the right direction. Now do me a favor. For those who are returning, you already know what to do. For those who are new, I need you to like the show, subscribe to the show, and give us a review on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. And also turn the notifications on so that you'll never miss an episode when episodes drop. That way you'll be well informed of the up-to-date whereabouts of your favorite show, which I hope this is your favorite show, every single week as things drop. So I just wanted to greet everyone real quick. Greet the new people, say hello to the returning guests, and yeah, let's now get into the episode and start off discussing a new topic. What's up, world? Welcome back to Life Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and I am an inspirational speaker. Really quickly, before we start the show, I just wanted you to know that your support means everything. Not just monetarily, but also your words. So here's what I want you to do for me. I want you to go on to Apple, find Life Tips Podcast, and write a review. And also leave a 5-star rating. Because you know I'm trying to get up there with the top dogs in the Apple podcast world. Same thing with Spotify and Google. Go look us up on those platforms too. Blow us up and let people know how important listening to Life Tips Podcast means to you. That way, the higher up we go, the more downloads we'll get from the virtual community. So yeah, y'all, that's all I wanted to say. Let's get into the episode. We got a Houston boss babe on the podcast. Yes. Ooh-wee. Big shit, but my bank account match it. Hood, but I'm classy. Rich, but I'm ratchet. Haters kill my name in their mouth, not a gag. Bougie. He say the way that thing move is a movie. I told that boy we gotta keep it lowly, meet a room.
Honest and authentic brand management. Muse helps clients to develop and build brands to increase revenue and visibility. Wow. Clear messaging and improved image, brand continuity, marketing strategy. Muse is a boutique brand management, marketing, and PR firm in Houston, Texas, specializing in media and communications. Intuitive, led outside-the-box methods are designed to achieve client results. That is incredible. some of what clients are saying about Muse is that Muse provided Muse constructed a detail-oriented marketing plan that allowed me... Oh, Lord. Anyway, as we can see here, the client base is talking about Muse and the consistent sharing of thoughts on the business is just popping up every now and then, so I can't read that. Client stories have been seen in KPRC Houston, the Houston Chronicle, Houston Press, and KHOU 11. So this is some very serious stuff. And today, we have the CEO on Life Tips Podcast for the first time ever. We're live. We're rolling. So, I had to record the intro the way I did because reasons. And now we're here. So, everybody, help me welcome Sheba the Creative onto the podcast.
Your girl Sheba from down in the H, the Houston
PR
girl.
I'm good. Everybody's doing great. And so, yeah, we're gonna talk PR, branding, marketing, but specifically we're gonna talk about a woman's perspective on these things. As this is the first
from TV on fire.
Siri.
Points for Luca.
Siri.
Siri was like, also, these things, don't forget.
Yeah, Siri. No! Let me turn this off and this off. We're not talking to you. When I said a woman's perspective, I did not mean you.
Like, you always mean me. Like, reminds me of those old Twilight Zone episodes where, like, computers get possessive about their owners and be like, you belong to me.
That sounds like the Megan movie with the robot girl and...
I have a love for the Twilight Zone. Mm. Like, I would sit and watch the old school black and white Twilight Zone for hours. They always had this New Year's marathon on Sci-Fi Network.
Mm-hmm.
All day when the year changed. Okay.
Wow. So. Without further ado, just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, so in addition to being obsessed with the Twilight Zone, I have had quite a bit of media for podcasting in 2016 with a group of girls. The show was called Between Us Girls. It was all about girl talk and wine, but like hot topics, but also like real stuff that was going on. Like, we had some really amazing conversations. It was a really successful show, award-winning, highly publicized. I mean, you just would have to be there. But actually, so listen to all those old episodes if you want to on my podcast feed. I am a mom. I have two kids, a 19-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter. And I am a full-time entrepreneur. After many years of working in corporate America, I decided I wanted to break out on my own. And it has been crazy, rewarding, miserable, and fabulous all at the same time. I also, this is the last thing I'm going to share before you guys can with a thing, you guys, like, you have multiple personalities. You might. I do. I had a serious drinking problem. And so I am living at school.
So, essentially, you don't drink anymore.
No, I don't. You know, for a while, I would just, like, have a champagne or a wine every now and again. But, like, it just got so hard to even recover from, like, one glass. And I have so much to do running a business. I don't have time to recover from any alcohol. I just don't. So, I was dumb, and I mean, it's surprising to me how much I really enjoy sobriety, primarily because I still hang out with everyone, and people drink. They love alcohol. Like, society loves alcohol. There's no way around it. Like, we can't act like that's not true. Because everywhere you go, they're like, "I don't have any drinks. Is it an open bar?" And it's totally fine. But if I were going to start a new company, it would definitely be alcohol, because it would be the easiest thing for me to sell.
Well, that's good that you're recovering, and it's also good she brought up motherhood. 19 and 10. Wow. Moms are incredible. So if y'all don't take anything else away from this podcast episode, if you're a mom, that's the best thing ever. Like, you can literally pass your legacy on. And yeah, that's amazing. So
yeah. I think that's the most important thing about making sure that you are healing and doing what you need to do to be your best, because yes, you are passing on your legacy, but you're also passing on your trauma. If you're not doing what you need to do to fix them. I mean, and it takes time, of course, and you're not going to be able to touch on every point before you get out of here. But if you're teaching your kids also how to acknowledge their own feelings and work through what they're dealing with, I think that's the most important thing. So maybe, you know, as long as you're still working on yourself, if you're teaching your kids to self-reflect, be self-aware, and to take accountability and responsibility, I think that's really important.
Oh, so much stuff happened today, y'all. We're going to talk about it. But before we get there, we've got to talk about Muse marketing and management. I did my research, y'all. I went to the website. I found her socials. I put all of her information in the show notes so y'all can follow her at the end, at the beginning. It doesn't matter when y'all follow her. Just follow her because her information is in the show notes. But I went to the website.
Which one you went to? I have two.
Oh, I went to the Muse marketing website. I went to that one primarily, and I was like, whoa, this is nice. And the clients, you know, were talking about it, and I saw all the, you know, the Houston newspapers, and I was like, whoa, she's well known and big in Houston. Wow.
I don't know that I can accept that, primarily because I'm still building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a good job, especially considering I started this business from scratch.
Mm.
I do have a lot of success with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to expand, you know, like I want it to be, that's why I have the hashtag Houston PR Girl. Because when I want people to think of me when they think of me, that's what I want.
Wow. So you started small. where did you start from? What, like, take us back to when you left corporate America. What was your, what was your first, like, thought towards, okay, I'm going to make a marketing and management PR firm, go independent, and then just start that process, seeing as you said it's, you started small.
Well, let me tell you, I actually just had, on the 19th, I had my 5-year anniversary in business. And actually how it started was with that podcast that I had many years ago. So I was graphing a specific journalist for the Super Chronicle. I kept reaching out. Hey, just want to share more about my podcast. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more about my podcast. And then we got to our 100th episode. And he finally was like, okay, I'm going to write about you. And I was like, okay, cool. So he came to one of our recordings. And then he came to our live show for the 100th episode. Like, take pictures and put them in there with the article. And that was really, really awesome. Because I didn't even know I was doing publicity. I just knew that I was trying to get more visibility for our show. I didn't even realize that that was like an actual function, and they're like, well, like, yeah. So, a couple of years later, I was working at the hospital and still pregnant. So, like, I was doing editing, production, graphic design. I was managing the website, primarily managing our social media pages. Like, you know, these are just things that, like, come with spread out. Because by the end of us, we had 3. We started with 1. But I was doing a lot in the marketing, design, social media space. And I said, well, you know what? I could probably really get paid for this. So I'm going to go ahead and try. So I started on the side. And I was doing well. I was excited. I was, you know, making moves. And I started doing like $50 consulting sessions before you. And then my coworker died. And it really messed me up. But after she died, I had this moment where I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to help liberate my community. And I'm supposed to help people, like, polish their brands, you know, so we can stop complaining about, I don't want to patronize a black business because this kind of thing. I'm like, well, you can fix those issues with a few tweaks. You know, they're primarily communications problems, because you would see, like, a customer complaining about something that happened at a studio. And then you'd see the restaurant owner clapping back instead of just, like, giving them the coupon. You know, like, that's really all you have to do is on, try to fix it. So I'm like, those are easy fixes. All you need is like a little bit of communication. So that was in 2019. I started that. And then in 2021, I quit my job. And I was like, either stupid by some standards or really brave by some others. But it has definitely been interesting. Because I didn't start out as a PR person. I started out as strategic business consulting. And I was just, you know, giving branding advice, marketing advice, doing graphic design. So it just kind of evolved as my skill set grew. And I started to have a better understanding of what it meant to be in communication and what public relations and publicity really meant. So that's how I got here.
That's incredible. That's really incredible, just to go from, you know, playing a part to actually full on creating your own thing and, you know, taking things to the next level. That's incredible. And that's something that a lot of people seem to be doing now. Just going from the professional world to I'm going to do my own thing, especially with, you know, the pandemic. Everybody decided to do their own thing in the pandemic and not go back to work, which is why things are the way they are. And then, of course, the work from home market blew up and everyone was like, all right, well, you just work from home. And that never changed. And people tried to force going back to work in person, and that didn't work. So,
oh, it's making it worse. Trapped in the office. But I'll tell you this. I think the pandemic inspired a lot of people to try entrepreneurship. But just like in my case, you learn as you go through it that you need more than just your skill set that you're good at. Because you actually have to structure an organization. And I'm not talking about making sure you incorporate with the right one, like S-Corp, LLC. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actual organizational structure. I'm talking about whatever you need in your back office. I'm talking about learning sales and making sure that you're able to issue invoices and actually do and operate as accounts receivable. Because you got to be able to go to somebody and say, hey, you haven't paid your invoice. You know what that means? That means either we're going to stop work or you're going to pay extra. Which one do you want to do? And those are things that you don't really know until you also have to be that person. Because when you're working for your boss or the corporation that you work for, you don't know anything about the people that are not paying their bills. And there are many. There are many. Go ask the accounting department at your job. How many bills are going unpaid at this place? And they will say, child, we couldn't even run it down for you. So like you're gonna end up with that type of issue too. So you have to learn how to be accounting, HR, marketing, sales, operations, all these. You have to be everybody. And that's just something that I think we're in this culture that's like sensationalizing entrepreneurship. You also have to know how to do every bit of this to be successful. Because until you really figure out all those things, it's going to be hard for you. Because it's like operating with a flat tire. But you don't really know that the tire's flat because you never knew you needed air in it in the beginning.
Wow.
That wasn't too confusing.
No, it wasn't confusing at all. It was great. And you brought up a good point that everyone wants to be entrepreneurs, but no one wants to do the work.
Right, or maybe they don't know that it's required. Because the people that we're watching, the gurus, the influencers who are doing this lifestyle slash I'm an entrepreneur, I'm living the good life, they're not necessarily saying, hey, you're going to need to know all these things. There's either people who are talking about go get an LLC and an EIN and go get business credit, but to do what with it? And so how do I need to structure everything aside from that to get the business credit? Because you also have to tell these people what you're going to do with the money. You can't just walk up there and ask for a loan or a grant or whatever. They need you to have a plan for the money. So people are not getting grants and loans when they're looking for them because they haven't gone to go seek any marketing people. I need some quotes. I need somebody to tell me how much it costs to develop the commercial that I need to pay for. You know? So there's so many different things that, I mean, that was just my problem because I was like, why didn't anybody say this? How it was, you can work for yourself. You should work for yourself, but nobody was telling me the truth of it, which is there's so much that you have to know in order for your business to really take off and to flow.
Well,
learn it, but I'm willing to share that stuff with people.
That's good. That's good. And that leads us directly into our first break. But we're going to come back because we got a whole bunch more stuff to talk about before we get out of here. So hold on. go get a drink of water. We'll be right back.
This episode of Life Tips Podcast is sponsored by
Life Tips Podcast, and this is our sponsor. Yo, we got Spotify for podcasters. Let me tell you about it. Spotify for podcasters is the new podcast service from Spotify. It's totally free. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It allows you to create your podcast using various tools, and your distribution is on Spotify. Spotify first, and then they will distribute your podcast to different platforms for you. It's literally the all-in-one place to make a podcast. And then there's video podcasts. So Spotify for podcasts has a video feature as well. It is not just audio. So if you want to get started with Spotify for podcasters, then all you have to do is go to www.podcasters.spotify.com to get started on making your very own show. I can't wait to see what you come up with. Spotify. Spotify for podcasters. Spotify. Spotify for podcasters. Part two. This is where things are going to get even more interesting, because now we're going to talk about naming schemes, and we're really going to dive into the branding and the marketing side, because it's one thing to work in the field. It's another thing to actually like know how to present yourself. So I went to a college prep program when I was younger, one of the most one of the most well-known black colleges and universities here in the DMV.
Okay.
And I'm in high school at the time, and we're all in high school, and our professional mentors are just drilling this in our head over and over again, as junior and senior years, where they really just drilled it in our heads that, the importance of marketing yourself well and, as you're preparing for college, but they also tied in the workforce and career world. They mentioned it a little bit in the freshman and sophomore class, but it was really the juniors and seniors where it got, it was mentioned every other week. Make sure you, watch what you put on social media, because colleges, and I'm like, guys, you're beating a dead horse at this point. We get it. But all these years later, with the way things are now, Sheba mentioned influencers and YouTubers, and that's apparently the number one career choice now. If you were to ask a young person what they want to do now, they'll say they want to be a YouTuber. That's what they're saying. They want to be a YouTuber. It just Gen Z, not so much Gen X, because Gen X is still cut from the old guard cloth a little bit, but Gen Z for sure. Oh yeah.
So you know what's gonna happen, right? Let's talk about it.
Okay. What's gonna happen?
If all the people coming up want to be YouTubers, who wants to be in the workforce?
That's a good point.
Who wants to be? You know, it's already difficult to get people who are 30 and below to actually do any work at work.
Right.
Because they want to be on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Them too. So, my son is 19 years old. He does have a job. But, he also doesn't really have a good idea of what he wants to do with his life in general, which I don't blame him. I mean, he's 19. I'm not going to press him to have it all figured out, because, I didn't have it figured out until I was, 36. So I'm not going to be you need to decide, and because it could change, just go get some skills. Get some soft skills. Make sure you get them soft skills, But that's unfortunate. Why would you just wake up and be you know what? I have nothing to talk about. I don't have any skills yet, but I want to be a YouTuber. To do what? What are you going to do? You going to do flips and games? At some point, there's going to be a saturation of people who are on YouTube doing nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That and TikTok, which has paid off so many people since the pandemic to...
I know.
Make videos.
Maybe I'm getting frustrated because I feel like I said, there's not going to be any workforce if everyone is being watched and viewed on TikTok.
Good point. That is so true. And so that kind of does lead into talking about all of your different code names and monikers. I'm like, okay.
Why do I have so many?
It's like, why did she have so many? Sheba Creative AF, and then the muse name for your business, and then on Instagram, if I can get back over there.
You got to look at the Divine Igniter.
The divine igniter. And I'm like, whoa, this is a lot of branding, and
yes.
So I'm like,
all those brands I'm building, you see?
Yeah, so talk about it for a second before we actually get into the big topic. Where did all these names come from? How'd you come up with them? You must be really good at this.
I am really good at this. Let's see, who came first? MS Creative AF came first. Because I miss Creative AF. I'm creative and favored, as my mom would say. Or some people might say as.
I thought it was that. I was like, oh, snap. Wow.
It is that, of course. but I let my mom say in favored because that makes her feel better.
Oh, that's
because she's old.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was first because I wanted to make an impact. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't want to just be creative.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be creative AF. I want to be Miss Creative AF. Like, so address me correctly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So then let's see what came after that. So then it was Sheba. It was Sheba Creative AF. And then it was the Muse. And then I think actually, or maybe did Muse come? Muse came after the Divine Igniter.
Mm-hmm.
Divine Igniter was very important because that was like, see, that's the thing. It's like there's this whole long journey behind each name and mm-hmm. like when it came about on the journey.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, MS Creative AF was first. That's why I asked you which website you looked at because creativeaf.com is like where it started. So mscreativeafmuse.com is where I went when I was trying to build out the branding and the marketing.
Okay.
So I have now taken back my original site and put my new Muse site there. So if you just want to look at that, you can. You don't have to do that now.
Right.
So then I was ready to like rename myself like completely because my first name is Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L. It's spelled like Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people kept calling me Mike, Mr. Roy, and I was like, that doesn't sit well with me because I'm a woman and I want people to address me correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was, actually I wasn't even born yet. Before I was born, my dad wanted to call me Jehoshaphat. My mom was like, yeah, that's Mabel, that's not cute.
Oh, okay. That explains where that comes from.
Right. So I was like, okay, I need to rename myself because I was going through this deep rebirth process. And I said, I'm going to take Jehoshaphat. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to love it. Because like my whole life, it was like, oh, I hate that name.
Mm-hmm.
My dad still called me that. And I was like, oh, don't call me that. And but I decided I didn't want people destroying that name like they had messed up Michelle all those years. Because I could see people mispronouncing it. I could see it being misspelled all this way. But this, to me, somebody messing up your name is kind of like really severe disrespect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm just going to bring out Sheba. I'm going to let them have that. It should be easy enough. And people still call me Sheila and Sheba all the time. So I'm like, okay, well, I was right to protect the name that I don't want butchered. So anyway, but I'll tell you, there is a woman who has like a really long career in marketing and branding, like Fortune 500 companies. An Indian woman. Her name is Sheba Roy.
Mm-hmm. So
it does not make sense for me to brand myself digitally as Sheba Roy. That's why Sheba Creative AF is very important because that's the differentiator. Because if you Google Sheba Roy, you're not going to pull me up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially in my industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to pull up this other woman.
Right.
So that's why whatever you decide to name yourself, it's important that it's distinct. That you have something that sets you apart, because otherwise you're not going to stand out. But I don't necessarily use that page right now because I'm the Divine Igniter, because I'm growing my business. So when I was focused on building up the Divine Igniter, I was doing a lot of spiritual stuff. I mean, astrology, tarot cards, just a week ahead, like energetic stuff, chakras, that kind of stuff, because that was part of the journey, like learning all that stuff to kind of get in touch with my energy body. And
I really see. Oh my gosh.
What?
I see.
Oh my God. Are you a witch?
No. I was scrolling and I'm like, whoa. She's awesome. She reminds me of someone creative that I'm thinking of.
Someone creative that you're thinking of? Is it me? Do I remind you of myself?
Maybe. I was gonna say, yes. I was like, she looks like Megan Good for 5 seconds. I'm like, hold up.
Never. Thanks. So after that, I was like, okay, I'm still in business, but I feel like, you know, I'm still struggling with some imposter syndrome. I really need to put myself out there under the not even necessarily the name, but the function that I started, which was strategic business consulting, design marketing, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go on all this like spiritual sabbatical, like really find myself and get mm-hmm. in touch with all parts of myself, which is why I have all these different names, because like there really are all these different parts of myself that I had to meet and learn to love and embrace and appreciate in order to like be like, okay, I'm ready to be out here doing my work. I'm a freaking weirdo, love it or don't. I do, you know. So I started working again on developing my business, you know, like not my spiritual business, because my spiritual business is not my marketing. Like I had some clients, I was working with them, but they had spiritual brands, kind of like what I was building. And so I started to be frustrated because I felt like people were copying me, but not acknowledging that I had inspired them. So I was just sitting by myself one day and I said, I'm their muse, but they're not going to say that. I'm going to say it for them.
It's all coming together, guys. Wow. Oh, wow.
I said, well, I must be your muse. So if I'm your muse, just say that. But since you won't, I'll say it for you.
Wow. Guys, this is... Wow. Hold on a second. We gotta go on Google real quick. A muse in Greek and Roman mythology, each of the 9 goddesses, daughters of Zeus and... I'm not even gonna try and pronounce that. Yeah, I'm not gonna try and pronounce that. Who preside over arts and sciences. And then the second definition is a person or personified force who is the source of inspiration for a creative artist. The point is... Wow. She's definitely a muse, for sure. She's like, definitely.
You know I just said that while you out here saying it.
She's deaf.
You could have tagged me, or you could have said she inspired me, but for whatever reason, people just weren't wanting to do that. But I was like, I'm not going to worry about that. I know I'm inspiring. You know.
If we're
going. I felt like that was also like a really interesting name for a marketing agency, and turns out there are like 6. So I thought I was being different by using the Z, and then I come to find out like there's a freaking office that you can share with other creatives, M-U-Z-E. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, it's all in how you do it, you know. So it's really part of my journey, and it was all just me using my same skill set to build and create a digital presence. So that's something that I know how to do. It doesn't matter what you call it, what you want to be called. We're going to figure out how to do that.
One of my good friends, I'll send you her info when we get off this. One of my good friends is... Her moniker was taken from Aphrodite.
Okay.
And as you all know, nope, not this. No. Aphrodite is, or was, excuse me, the Olympian goddess of love, beauty, pleasure, and procreation. She was depicted as a beautiful woman, often accompanied by the winged godling Eros. That's enough of the Greek definitions on Google, but oh my gosh, like when I heard, like, just breaking down the muse part and just, you know, then realizing, oh wow, I've got a friend who took a lot of inspiration from Aphrodite, and that muses were like goddesses in Greek mythology or Roman mythology too, and I'm like, okay, she's got that down, because y'all, when I was going through her Instagram, I was like, what?
I went through the Divine Igniter Instagram. I scrolled all up and down that joint. I'm like, so she definitely gives off Greek goddess energy. She could almost be an Aphrodite. Almost.
Well, I'll tell you. It's funny that you're going there. So let me share this. Mm-hmm. You know, I love astrology, so I'm a Taurus. Taurus is ruled by Venus.
Yeah, my ex was a Taurus. I know.
Your ex was a Taurus?
Yeah, I know all about that.
So you're into it. Well, Venus is the Roman equivalent of Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that I tap into that Venusian energy.
Mm.
So like, it is all about beauty. It's all about nature's bounty, money, finances, resources, love, that kind of thing. So like, gifts.
Mm.
All of that.
Wow. Okay. So on to another person that is very... Oh, man, I can't say enough about this woman because she's just incredible. So, obviously, today is January the 26th, and, of course, y'all won't hear this podcast episode for at least another month. But by the time you guys do hear this podcast episode, we would be like... 2 months in from the date. Still, I saw a YouTube video that asked the question, who pissed off Megan? And I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a good thing we're talking about this, because the Breakfast Club interviewed her. She explained her, you know, she explained her PR and marketing vision behind Hiss, and Cobra came out not too long ago. That was about Party. Now Hiss is out, and Megan's been diving into the snake themes a lot. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. We can talk about this tonight on the show, because it ties directly into personal branding, and, well, not really, but it kind of does, even though Megan is running a huge multi-million-dollar music business and crushing it without a label, but still, she
doesn't have a label right now?
No, she doesn't have a label right now. She went through the legal battle. Look at me knowing all this stuff. She went through the legal battle with her former label, 1403 Certified Entertainment.
Oh.
And yeah.
Oh, I can see that switch.
Yeah, they were claiming one thing, she was claiming another thing, and it was just a back and forth. So eventually 1401 Certified Entertainment, they had to split, part ways, let her go, and just move forward. And so they did. She's been funding her entire music career by herself at this point, which, I mean, she can. She's got millions. Yeah. And we're all just eating it up. She broke the internet today. And I really like Megan Thee Stallion. Like,
sounds like it.
I'm going to see her in person at one of her tours. And I'm going to get VIP. Because it's worth it. And from a professional standpoint, she's awesome. Like, she doesn't chase after the drama. The drama just comes her way, and she deals with it. And the one thing I can say that, you know, if I were advising her on her team, the one thing I would say is, like, be careful of who you pick your battles with, just saying, because she and Nicki Minaj are currently feuding. They've been going at it with, you know, in music left and right for the last several years. And although I do not support Nicki Minaj, I will acknowledge that she has been in the game for a long time and has been breaking records like crazy, even though she's got zero Grammys. But
another story for another day. Also, if y'all don't know, Megan Thee Stallion is gorgeous. She doesn't call herself the hot girl coach for nothing. My God. People ask me all the time, if you met Megan Thee Stallion, what would you do? And I'm like, shoot, I would shoot my shot. It's Megan. What? Yes, it's Megan Thee Stallion. Of course. But
so you feel like you have a shot?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, look at bad example, but still, look at Darius Jackson. He had a shot.
Maybe that is a terrible
example. He fumbled it.
The way that end.
He fumbled it.
The way that end came crashing down.
He fumbled it, but he had a chance. For a brief moment, he had a chance and fumbled it.
Like, what was Kiki even doing talking to him? Like, no. You gotta know. And I'll tell you this about Megan. Like, right before my original show ended, we were interviewing, I guess, like, B-list celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. So I heard Big Ol' Freak while I was getting ready to go somewhere. It was my first time hearing it. You know, this was years ago. And I was like, I want to interview her. So I put it on my list, and I was getting ready to send an email. And then the band broke up, and I was like, I guess we need to take a break. But we probably could have gotten her at that time.
Yeah, well, Kiki was, that's cool. That's what's up. Well, Kiki was dealing with an narcissistic, abusive crybaby that couldn't stand the sight of his significant other being serenaded by Usher. Meg was dealing with a super violent psycho dude who's in prison now, thank God. I was on her side the entire time. I knew he was going to jail. I knew he did it. I knew he shot her. I was on her side the whole time when the whole world was against her. And now everybody's paying for it because they're taking shots and it's not worth it. You don't take shots at someone like that and think you can get away with it. It's not going to work. She's going to create a diss track and it's going to come out.
I don't think that lady is worried about anybody. Like, she's literally living her best life. She has a wealth of resources. She is beautiful. She has a fun personality.
Mm-hmm.
She did like a hot chip activation at TSU.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, she can make any tracks she wants to, and she can really say anything because she doesn't need anybody. Like, once you get to the point where you're like, okay, well, y'all don't want to talk to me if I make this music, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
They will not, unless they're crazy.
Right. And that's,
you know.
Right.
So.
Right.
But I don't see her feud with Nicki Minaj getting to the point of like where it's dangerous for either one of them.
Agreed.
You know, so it's like, and I hate to say it, but
sure,
it could even be playful between the two of them on some level because both of them know that's making them money. You know, it doesn't, like, even listening to the song, it didn't sound like anything that I would have been like, I need to go kill her because I'm so ashamed of what just said. I mean, it's just like, it's just words, you know? And I know on that level, it could be very damaging to your reputation. So that's why some people retaliate because they're like, you're defaming me. That never happened that way. You know, so now I need to come back because that's not true. As far as, oh wait, so this is what Rolling Stone said 4 hours ago. Nicki Minaj is hella pressed over Megan Thee Stallion's apparent hiss diss. Minaj accused Megan of being a manipulative liar and laughed at a lyric seemingly referencing the rapper being shot by Tory. I don't know what that is, but anyway, I can't see it getting that intense.
I brought that up, y'all, because we are talking about a woman's perspective on entrepreneurship and faith, and I wanted to bring this into the show because as talking to a woman who has been in business, who has been in corporate America, and worked with a lot of people, it can get very interesting for Black women, especially in this day and age. Another point of reference, did y'all, and I promise we're going to get to the rest of the podcast episode, but we just need to talk for right now. Like, did y'all hear what Taraji P. Henson was saying about the pay gap and how she was considering quitting? At Taraji P. Henson, one of the most amazing and gorgeous women on the planet. Yes, I said that. I would totally date Taraji if she hadn't given up on Black men. That's another story for another day. But you get my point. Like, the way they're treating Black women, not just in, you know, the normal industries, but even in the entertainment world, is just ridiculous. The pay gap between her and some of her other co-stars were just so massive. I couldn't believe it. I was like, tell me y'all are not treating her like this. That's messed up.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I think that's like what we just talked about with Nikki and Megan. Like, I think that's probably part of the problem. It's like, they're already going to disrespect us.
Mm-hmm.
But then we, instead of creating a collaborative of women who's like, nah, we should all get paid. We should all get paid X. We should all spread the wealth. I'm not working if sis don't get paid because we're on the same team. It's competition. And that's a big issue for me among Black women.
Go for it. Talk about it. Talk about it.
Hey, y'all, real quick. I need your help. So, listener support is now active for Life Tips Podcast. So, if you love this podcast, please, please, please give to support future episodes of the show. No amount is too great or too small. It would really mean a lot to me if you all would help support the podcast and get this show where it needs to be moving forward. So again, if you're really just into this show and you look forward to episodes every single week, drop something in the support channel, drop something in the support button you can click on. It really means a lot to me, and it'll go towards future episodes being produced. All right, cool. Back to the show.
y'all don't know how to collaborate. So it's like, when we're doing a collaboration, why does that automatically mean you get to run me and tell me what to do?
Mm.
Because I thought you brought me in because you knew I was an expert. Or I thought you brought me in because you like the way I work and I have a different skill set than you. Not because you just felt like you needed to put your foot on my neck. And so now, instead of it being a collaboration, it's a war. Fuck some competition, it's a war.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel safe. And that happens in a lot of situations and not just to me. So it's like, when are we going to realize that collaboration means we're working together to build something large, which means I'm going to work on this where I'm good. You're going to work where you're good. We're going to come together and do this so we can build the house together.
Mm-hmm.
Not you sit up there, don't do nothing, tell me what to do. And then it's just like, that's not collaboration to me. So I think we need to learn collaboration so that we can do it. Like, there was a post recently that I saw where somebody was saying that they had never had a bad experience with a Black woman as a manager, another Black woman. And the comments were full of Black women who were like, nah, you're a lie. Because one of my most stressful work situations has been with a Black woman who has been my boss.
Okay.
And I think that's a huge issue. So, like, if we could actually, like, make a Black women's labor union that is together, we might end up with better treatment. Because the thing is, and, like, this is just something that I've learned in business and in branding. It's like,
sure,
you give a damn about yourself. Other people don't care about you. So the way we treat ourselves, the way we treat each other, teaches other people how to handle us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important for, like, when Taraji speaks up, for sisters to come and back her up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, Vivica being like, I can't relate.
That part.
Like, ma'am, nobody even asked you.
Mm-hmm.
Because my problem is, when they talked about how much money she made from Kill Bill, she really should have gone inside and never came back out. Because why would you have accepted that knowing what the mother house made? Are you serious? See, let's stop, because I don't like when I get like this.
No, that's perfect, because it ties into what I was originally going to ask you about. It was about the life tips and the advice, since we are on Life Tips Podcast,
for the
listeners, and specifically the women, in regards to their self-image, how we market ourselves, just using all these different examples that we've talked about to talk about, like, how we're doing in 2024, because in my notes, I said that this subject matter of, you know, marketing and, you know, branding has changed so much over time from what it used to be, with the addition of, you know, of course, social media. But even now, as I'm looking around at my own environment, I went from, you know, I went from that college prep program all those years ago to landing in the school system. And now I work with high schoolers who are, so I'm technically kitchen staff, but because my role in the kitchen staff environment puts me directly in contact with the high schoolers, I'm more connected to them than my kitchen supervisor or my other coworkers. And so with me getting to see them in the mornings and afternoons every day, I'm usually the first person they see in the mornings from the staff. And then I'm the last person that they typically see before the school, you know, closes and lets them out for the day, because by the time they go home, I'm clocking out. And so I see some of them in the in the halls before I leave, you know, school. And of course, now they're my kid. They're my kid. Even though I don't personally have any kids, I haven't birthed out any kids. I claim other people's kids as my kids, and we have a respectable, almost mentor-ish type of relationship. And since we're on the topic of branding and marketing and all that, it's just like, I really want to talk to Sheba about this, because being in high school now and seeing this, and especially getting ready to, because literally in just months, my seniors are graduating, going off to college. But they're right now, they're in the college application process. And so it's mostly, you know, them applying for schools. And I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, all those years ago when I was in high school, those caring dudes from all these, you know, corporate jobs came through and said, hey, keep in mind what you put out on socials could affect your ability to get into college. And now all these years later, I'm like, there's no one that I can see sharing that same message with the high schoolers of today. So yeah, we got to talk about branding and marketing and how we're putting ourselves out there. And I'm not talking about LinkedIn, people. Everyone has a LinkedIn. LinkedIn is cool. But what's really out there is, if we're being honest, TikTok and Instagram. Because nobody really uses Facebook except the old people. No offense. And
I love Facebook, but all of the platforms have a different purpose. Mm-hmm. See, people just feel like, oh, I'm using TikTok today, or I'm using Facebook or LinkedIn. Everyone has a different function.
Right.
And so we don't have to be on all of them. Like, I mm-hmm. had a session earlier this week with someone who's building a personal brand mm-hmm. to sell a product or a service.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you don't have to be on all the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's overwhelming for you to be on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Pick two.
Mm-hmm.
If you only want to do two. But you got to be on one of the ones that's good for writers and readers. And then you must be on one of the ones that's good digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So choose.
Right. And so where I really want to go with this is basically just I was looking at the feud today, the feuds and all the Megan stuff, and I'm like, while I appreciate what she's doing and why she's doing it, the reason I gravitate more towards her and less towards Nikki is because of Nikki's brand. It's not so much like the music. It was her. I got off of Nikki because she started doing things that I just personally couldn't stand for. Like, and even her fan base, Nicki Minaj has Donald Trump power. She's black, she's successful, and her followers are like a worse version of the Bay Hive. Like, they will come out. Yes, they will attack you if you literally...
I'm a high rubber.
Okay, yes. Great. That's great. Cool. They will attack you if you even...
Beyonce, absolutely.
Exactly. Like...
In any way, shape, or form, don't say nothing about her.
Don't say nothing bad about her. You can spread all the positive messages about Beyonce you want. But as soon as you cross over to the other side, beware.
Well, what bad could you have to say about her, though?
That part. My point is, you can once you reach a certain level, you can get away with that stuff. But if you're just out here, you know, trying to get your life together, I still would say throw in a little bit of caution in how you present yourself online, especially when it comes to the feuding and the back and forths and the Instagram lives and the just constant, like I have coworkers that will be on Instagram live drunk as a mug and high, and I'm just like, what if one of your kids saw that? I'm just saying. Does that make sense?
I think for me, in regard to that specifically too, it's like, I don't know if I care anymore, because I feel like there was a long time, like especially when I was heavy working on the Divine Igniter page, I was really trying to like keep my image aligned with a certain level of, I don't know if it was professionalism or just something, but it just, if it doesn't feel authentic, it's also going to struggle to grow.
That part.
Because what people don't realize is the human element is what people are attracted to. So if you feel like, oh, I can't do that because people won't like it, you like it. Somebody out there will like it too. Mm-hmm. So it might not be everybody, but it's going to be some people. And the people who are really, like, I think I'm in that space where I'm really finding my flow on the news page. So it's like, when I start talking about business, but I start talking about it in the way that I talk, somebody who's sitting at their house, probably writing MF on a piece of paper because they're frustrated, is going to feel it when I drop it in the video. But there are some people who will be like, oh my God, she cusses too much. Well, that's not my target. You don't have to talk to me. But somebody who wants to get down to business and doesn't care about the words that I'm using will click on my video and be like, I need this real, raw information.
Facts.
Because I'm not going to give you the fluff. I'm going to tell you like it is. You know? But when you're afraid to do that, when you're afraid to tap into your own humanity, use it because you're afraid of what people won't like it, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because you just don't realize that if the human stuff, like if I never talked about having kids, or if I never talked about having a special needs child, other moms who have special needs kids would not be like, I can relate to her. For lack of a better word, I fucks with her, because we're the same. We're similar right there. So whatever your similarities are that people that would make people click the follow button, you're not showing them because you think people won't like it, or I want to make sure that I'm using caution, like your teacher said. We're not living in the age where you just have to be perfect. I don't want a job. So I'm not interested in being hired by anybody. Now, maybe if I was trying to keep my image properly tightened up so that I could get hired by whatever organization, I could make my own money. So if you don't want to do business with me, you don't want to do a contract with me because I said fuck, well, okay, you don't want creative either.
Ooh, ouch. That is fire. Oh man, I love it. Like, and that just bleeds into the end of the episode. Like, I love the Your Camera, Your Confidence tagline. That was fire. So I'm like, okay, we got to talk about confidence and manifestation to close out. Because I'm like, we just hit a new year. We're still early in the new year. And by the time this episode comes out, we'll still be early. And spring won't even be here by the time the podcast episode launches. It's coming out like mid-March. So I'm just curious, like, where did that come from? And then, like, we got to talk about confidence, like, in terms of resolutions and goals and manifestation. For example, I'll share one more thing about myself. My New Year's resolution is the public one. the private New Year's resolution, and I'm about to tell on myself. And she was gonna be like, whoa. The private resolution is to take the parts of me that I want to take with me into my 30s and leave everything else behind. There. I told my age. Literally celebrating my 30th this year. And that's the big milestone. So I'm like, okay, I'm literally will never be in anywhere near my 20s again. 30s is supposedly the best times of your life. I'm ready to celebrate. I just for sure want to make sure that everything from my past that I don't want to take with me is not in my bags, so that when I transfer over, I can really say, okay, 30s, here we go. Let's take my life to the highest possible levels. And then publicly, I'm single. I got nobody. So the whole, like, New Year's goal is to just not just be ready to do over with relationships, but to actually create one that's gonna last. Cause yeah, so that's why I wanted to touch on New Year's resolutions and goals and confidence and manifestation. Cause that's kind of like the boat that I'm in right now.
So that is really the foundation of my life. That's how I get all my new names. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a new level to hit. We need a new name. Yeah. But I just had a vision board workshop. I have one every year. And that was only 2 weeks ago, and I'm already seeing so many things that I put on my board. And mm-hmm. and it might not be those things specifically, but it's like steps in that direction or mm-hmm. movements that indicate that my intention that I set is working, and so I will soon see my manifestation. Now, I'll tell you that this year I'm seeing things that I set for like 5 years ago. Ooh. Because over the last 5 years, there's a lot of shifting that needs to take place in order for some of the things that I prayed for and probably other people I prayed for to really come into our reality. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things about goal setting that I really, really make sure that I speak about is the patience and the having the right attitude in the waiting. Easy. Mm-hmm. Because the waiting is the hardest part, like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers said. Because you want it today. But like when I set the intention to be MS Creative AF, I didn't realize that I really needed to be the muse. So like, I had to go through all of that stuff so that I could get to where I am today. So the thing is that when you're saying I'm going to set a goal and I'm going to manifest this thing, you don't realize that in order for you to have it, you probably have to change.
Yep.
Probably have to grow.
Yep.
You're going to have to stop doing something else. So just like you said, you don't want to move into the next year with these things, but that means that you have to do a self inventory. Mm-hmm. You really have to look at it. And one of the things that people struggle to do is to make those declarations of I'm going to discard this thing, because like whatever your addictions are, because it doesn't have to be alcohol or drugs mm-hmm. or food, TV, it could be anything. It could be self-abuse, because that was a big problem I had. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that I had and the things that I said to myself in my mind were so damaging. Mm-hmm. So that is key number one. Mm-hmm. Change your thoughts. You got to change your thoughts before you can change your mindset, because you can't plant those new seeds, that new programming that changes the mindset until you get the thoughts in order, because every single negative thought you have will fight you on trying to become somebody new. So that has to come first. You have to be able to say, we're not going to have that thought. So when you have a negative thought, you're then going to take note of it. But what was that? You will never be anything. Nobody will ever love you. You're stupid. Whatever it is. You have to be able to get in front of that and say, that's not true. My mom left me. My friends left me.
Mm-hmm.
My followers love me. The people who listen to my show love me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already somebody. I'm already doing something. So shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One of my exes asked me one time, he's like, do you know how to say shut up to yourself? That was years ago. And I was like, huh, maybe I don't.
Mm.
And so when I was like, okay, well, maybe I do need to tell myself shut up. So that was like a really pivotal moment for me, was when I learned that I could control those thoughts. So when I stopped allowing the negative thoughts to constantly be in my mind, I was then able to write new, fresh affirmations
mm-hmm.
and plant something positive in that soil.
Mm-hmm.
So it was whatever I was desiring to be. I am a full-time entrepreneur. I'm successful. You know, I am well-paid. I have clients who do what I tell them is going to work for their business, whatever I wanted it to be right at the time. But of course it took me years because I had so many levels I had to go up in order to really hit like today, this moment. So I just, you know, it's like when people think about manifestation, they're like thinking about stuff that's going to come with a split, but then they're also asking for $1 million. Like, you got to look at where you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I was in my office at the hospital asking to be a full-time entrepreneur with no frame of reference, no understanding of that. So of course it wasn't going to be the next week. It wasn't going to be the next year. It was going to take me time because I had to learn it. It's like going to college.
Mm-hmm.
That's not 1 year's worth of work, you know? So it wasn't different for me to learn this, but so, you know, if you're a person who's like, I'm going to use the law of attraction or I'm going to manifest, pay attention to what you're asking for.
Thanks.
Like, really look at it on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
If you're starting out with zero listeners and you want to start a podcast that has 1 million downloads, just respect the time that it might take to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the first year going, oh, I can't believe I'm not there yet, just keep going.
Because
you never know. Maybe in year three, you're going to have some virality. Or once you're consistent, you get some really big guests that push you over there. But if you quit in year number two because you only have 250 downloads per episode, you're never going to get where you're trying to go.
Right.
That is. Not giving up is key. You know, mm-hmm. the waiting, like I said, is really the hardest part, but it's a beautiful experience.
That part, no, seriously, because a month ago from when this, you know, gets released, obviously 1 month later, without spoiling it, this is technically is a spoiler, but one of the things I mentioned in my Valentine's podcast episode, which is literally coming out soon, by the time y'all hear this, it would be a month, but still, I said that one of the ways that you'll know that you're ready to love, that's next week. Ready to love is love. That's my take on Ready to Love and Love is Blind, two of my favorite shows that I watch all the time.
You like Ready to Love?
I love watching Ready to Love. I love watching Love is Blind. The new season comes out on Valentine's Day, actually. And I told my listeners in the episode, one of the ways you'll know if you're ready for love or ready to start back over at love or mostly start back over at love, because that's kind of where I'm at, is like, yo, like, you have to eliminate your past. You can't keep running back to your ex, crying over your ex, calling your ex. I deleted my ex's number. I finally deleted my ex's number, not gonna lie. I deleted my ex's number, completely, like, stopped checking her social media pages and just purged her completely. And now I'm ready to meet someone new, and it's only January, February, March. So, yeah, like, what she was saying about confidence and manifestation and, like, oh, man, I felt that. So just, yeah, I wanted
to... Do you want me to talk more about confidence before we go?
Before we go, like, we could keep going down the rabbit hole, but I know everybody's like, when are y'all going to stop talking? Y'all...
1 hour long podcast episodes are great because that's when you know there's just endless content that's there. But I will say that when it comes to anything that you're going to do in 2024, like she said, you got to be patient, you got to be confident, but also you got to have a plan. That, or you have to keep developing new plans. Because one of the reasons people's New Year's resolutions fail by March, almost, is because they don't have a plan B, a plan C, et cetera, for when their plan A falls apart. Like, just saying. Like, if I don't ever meet a girl...
Oh my God, I'm sure you will meet
someone. I'm just saying, if I don't meet a girl right now, I'm just gonna love me, and then it'll happen.
And I would also say this, like, if you don't meet a girl right now, it's because you're not supposed to meet one right now. Like, that is something that I just wish everybody could just grasp. You will always be right where you're supposed to be.
True.
So, like, when I was going through what I needed to go through to grow my business, I was not supposed to be in possession of millions of dollars. I would not have had them anymore. That would not have been a good time for me to be a millionaire, you know. But you gotta, I guess that goes back to having patience, but you're just not ever going to be anywhere you're not supposed to be. You're never going to have anything other than what you're supposed to have. So just be easy, you know. But I just want to add this really quickly,
because
I don't think that really touched on confidence enough.
Sure.
And especially on camera, because that's something that is very important, especially if you are building a personal brand in 2024. If you're not comfortable on camera, if you don't like what you look like, if you don't like what you sound like, all you have to do is practice. So the thing that I suggest to everybody is for them to make a personal and private video diary. So get on camera. Every morning I gave my video to the people who had subscribed to this small group. But I got on camera, talked about all the things, astrology, the energy of the day, whatever, stuff that I wasn't quite comfortable talking about yet. And I practiced and practiced and practiced until I was like, okay, I'm comfortable talking about it. And I mean, I think I did like over 200 videos just then, because I was doing it every day. And then I did like 200 where I had done them for everybody. So by the time I got finished with that, I mean, that's like 400 45-minute, 1 hour episodes of just me talking, you know, which, I mean, people were listening to it, probably still go back and listen to them now, but you just have to practice.
The reason
why you don't like what you look like is because you don't like you. So one, if you notice yourself picking you apart when you're on camera, it's because you don't like you. You need to get to the point where you like you. So when you can see yourself on camera, you can say, look how cute she is. You gotta like you. You know, self-abuse is the number one killer of dreams.
Let's go. Self-abuse is the number one killer of dreams, which leads right into the end. Oh my gosh. So, dreams. Like, talk about it before we go. Like, your 2024 outlook. Give us a glimpse of the vision board and, like, where you're going this year. Because I just have this feeling, and it's still here. Like, New Year's was not too long ago. But, like, once we crossed over into 2024... something just hit me that this is going to be such a big year for everyone. And then left and right, it started happening. Cousins were getting engaged. Friends were getting engaged. Jobs were, you know, people were getting hired. And stuff started happening everywhere. I'm like, I knew it. Something about 2024. I knew it. And so
yeah.
I want to hear some of Sheba's plans And then, you know, tell everybody, tell the people where we can find you on the majority of the social media platforms you use. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 2024 is like the year that dreams come true. And I'll tell y'all astrologically, Pluto has been in Capricorn for the last 15 years, like pretty much since Obama went through his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto is about death and rebirth. Capricorn is like the boss. Very much has to do with finance and the earth. Mm-hmm. So it's like stability. So with Pluto going through Capricorn, it was kind of like it really flipped us upside down and then flipped us back over. So it's like, okay, calibrate. Are you ready? So now with Pluto going into Aquarius, this is a moment where it's like, okay, it's like almost like when the rudder comes up or an anchor comes up and that now you can sail. So for me in 2024, of course, I'm not going to tell you everything because I'll never share all of my stuff.
Of course.
Because I mean, call me superstitious, call me protective, whatever, but like, I don't want my dreams destroyed.
Sure, no, of course.
Against mm-hmm. them. And since some people don't know how to set their own goals, all they know how to do is be a hater. And mm-hmm. I love that for you, but I hate it for me, and so I'm not sharing everything.
Sure.
So, what is one of my 2024 things on my vision board? One of the things that I'm going to do, and you guys can watch this, is I'm going to get my show back on air. So the Shiva Show is going to come through. I started a new blog that's going to grow into a nice little blog thing. I will continue to have clients. I will place them on television stations that I have yet to go on. I will have clients and I will place their articles and stories in publications I have yet to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm going to be on TV more. People are going to want to talk to me because I'm an expert and I'm an authority in my industry. You know? So that's what you can expect from me. So I want y'all to follow my Muse page at Muse, M-U-Z-E, brand M-G-M-T, because I'm growing it.
Mm.
I'm growing it. So I tell everybody, like, I met somebody one time and she gave some really great advice at this meeting, but like, she also said something that was very triggering to me. Because at the time, I think I had like 150 followers on that page. And that was probably at the end of 2022. She said, oh, I wouldn't show anybody this page because there's not a lot of followers on there. And I was like, well, how am I going to get followers if I don't tell anybody to go to it, though?
I'm literally trying to find it like right now. She said, Muse.
I thought you followed me already.
Oh, right.
You did it hours ago.
on the Divine Igniter page?
Yeah, but I think I saw you on the other one, too. Here, I'm going to go see.
Yeah, Jehoshaphat Roy. Yeah.
No, not that page. That's a completely different page.
I followed those pages. I didn't follow the other page.
Okay, I'm about to follow you right now from the page I want you to follow me back on.
Got it.
See me?
Got it. Yes, there it is. I was like, what? Yeah, all the pages. Yes, all the pages.
Yeah. So all right. I'll drop another thing that I'm doing. I'm going to be launching Freedom Lifestyle Television. I'm the vice president in that situation. So we're going to get that off the ground this year.
Yay! Nice. So, yeah. Muse Brand Management. I'm putting that in the show notes, and oh my gosh, like, this whole podcast episode has been tremendous. I've loved it. The listeners loved it. I already know they loved it. The women loved it. A woman's perspective, entrepreneurship and faith. Shiva, it has been a pleasure. I'm going to bring you back for sure. And yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Thank you so much, Nate.
Wait. Social media. Wait. Social media. Don't go. Gotta give you our social media.
You can follow us on social media on X at Life Tips Podcast, at Life Tips Podcast for Facebook, at Spoken Life Tips on Facebook and on Instagram. On Threads, you can follow me there at Nate_the_speaker, as well as on Instagram at Spoken Life Tips on Instagram and Threads as well. At @auth_gen_person on Twitter. That's @auth_gen_person on Twitter. At Life Tips Podcast, of course, on X/Twitter and on Facebook as well. You can also follow me on TikTok if you want to. Message me for my TikTok information as well. Lots of social media, lots of changes, but still the same engagement. All right, then. That's the end of this podcast episode. Look forward to seeing you next week.